Misfit Toys.
Whether you're driving to work, biking to a friend's place, or on the way to your next vacation, Amazon Music has your comedy fix covered. As an Amazon Prime member, you have access to ad-free top podcasts. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/onthegocomedy. That's amazon.com/onthegocomedy. And listen to your favorite podcasts on the go.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from a rental car. What kind of car is this, Graham?
Doug, we are in a Mitsubishi Endeavor, which is sort of Mitsubishi's big Jeep Cherokee, if you will, SUV. It's fine. It's Mitsubishi. It's decent.
I'm excited that we're in a SUV on Earth Day.
Yeah. I wish the rental car companies would have more... They should just, their whole fleet should just be hybrids. Like, they all have some hybrids, but they're not, it's like a specialty item and you have to pay extra for it. It's like, they should just make everything a hybrid.
Yeah, come on, rental cars. Enterprise, get in any hybrid and go. We're driving from Eugene, Oregon to PDX. To fly back to Los Angeles, LAX, on Sunday, April 22nd, to Ocean's 12, it's like 8:37 a.m. right now. So I say that so that if we're bad at the games, you'll go, well, they just woke up. Let's give them a break.
And we're driving through fog. It's very foggy.
Yeah, it's crazy foggy right now. You can't see very far in front of the car. So that could lead to some excitement when a sheep wanders out into the road.
That could really affect Bill the Title, hitting cattle.
Last night we did the second annual 421 show at Wow Hall. Wow Hall in Eugene.
Woodsman of the World.
Yeah, that's what it stands for. No one is Wow, no one is Hall. Graham was undefeatable, taking on Brandy and Joey and... Was it David we gave the prize? No, we gave the prizes to Joey.
I beat David, Brandy, and then Joey at the end. I defeated him, and we still just gave him prizes because we had to go.
Yeah, we can't, can't play all night. I got a question for you, Graham. Why do you hate Chicago?
Who tweeted that? Let me tell you something, friend. I grew up in Chicago. I am a Cubs and a Bears and a Bulls fan and a Blackhawks fan. I love performing in Chicago. Next week, when Doug is there, I will be working in Las Vegas, Nevada. And if you really want me to perform there, why don't you get you and all your friends to email Zanies and say, we want Graham Elwood to come headline the city that I love and am from, and my brother lives there.
Yeah, so do that, you guys. I will be at Zanies in Chicago on Tuesday night. And we're going to play the Leonard Maltin game.
Chicago.
Wait, you just said all that stuff about how much you like it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I love it. It's great.
My favorite thing about Chicago is how much fun it is saying, "The Bears."
You are.
"The Bears." Like, there's a new Geico commercial where that stupid lizard says it. Like, it wasn't funny 20 years ago or whenever it started.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. It was 1992
Jesus.
When they did that sketch.
"The Bears." That's the whole thing? Just saying "The Bears"? Anyway, now that I've alienated everyone in Chicago that loves that expression, I will be there. Like, it's a miracle that Da Bears movie never came out of SNL. They made a movie of everything, but they never got around to making that one. And the Gap Girls, I never made one out of that. But I'll be at Zanies on Tuesday night. Winner of Leonard Maltin game against my opening act, who will not be Graham Elwood because he'll be in Vegas, will win a guest seat on Sunday's Doug Loves Movies taping at Zanies at 6 p.m. It's a weird start time. What am I doing in between the two shows? Like, people are going to be bugging me, like... you know, would come to our town in between those two Chicago shows. Can't do it. Sorry.
Can't do it.
Yeah. I'm going to Ebert Fest.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, which is a lot more fun than Qbert Fest.
Sounds like you're going down to Champaign-Urbana.
From 20 years ago. That's right. Champaign-Urbana, Roger Ebert's hometown. I've always wanted to go. He used to have a film festival that was like overlooked movies or undiscovered, you know.
Right.
I forget the expression for it, but anyway, he would show movies that he thought were overlooked, and he still does that, but he also shows some new movies, and they just call the whole thing the Roger Ebert Film Festival. So I'm going to be attending that for the first time, so if you're there, come over and say hey to me. Thank you to everyone who listened to the debut ep of Dining with Doug and Karen. You've all been so nice. We're going to do it twice. We've decided to do a second episode, and we'll be taping that sometime in May. Please write to me on Twitter with any of your thoughts and concerns about a show where I just sit there and eat. The episode we taped Douglas Movies at Cobb's in San Francisco last Thursday with TJ Miller, Pete Holmes, Dan Gabriel, and Mr. Elwood right here will plop sometime this week for free. 90 minutes of yelling.
It is the least amount of talking I think I've ever done in one of your podcasts.
Yeah, because that Dan Gabriel won't shut the fuck up.
I was going to put a pillow over his head and smother him.
If only there was a pillow around at the comedy club.
I know. Why don't the comedy clubs have more pillows?
From the corrections department, I must apologize to Aaron Peanut Wills from 311 for calling him David at one point during the last UCB show. I don't know why I did it. I was just like, it's your turn, David. And he looked at me kind of funny, and then he answered. He's a very, very nice man.
Correct. He didn't go, no, my name's Aaron.
No, I think he thought I was making some sort of reference that nobody got. You know, like maybe he was David and Sarah Silverman was Goliath.
Oh, those 311 guys are so nice.
Yeah, he's a very good guy. And go on the 311 cruise if you can. Oh. It'll be the most fun you've ever had, especially if you like 311 and weed.
Yeah, and boats and sun.
Yeah, Graham went for the boats and the sun.
No, it was a year ago that I became a fan, you know, really got to see 311 and really fell in love with them and their fans. It was awesome.
Now, when is the Comedy Film Nerds episode that we did at Bridgetown Fest going to be available?
That will be available this Friday, which is the 27th. It is our first ever paid episode. It's with Janine Garofalo and Doug Benson. It's $1.99. It'll be in the album section.
$1.99? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. We've given 105 episodes for free.
Oh, I meant because you're giving it away so cheaply.
Oh, well, that's a great deal. Yes, Doug.
I had a wonderful time recording my new album on 420 at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington. Graham was there too, and we did two shows. One guy had to be kicked out for loud talking in the first show, and then four or five ladies, it all happened so quickly, I don't even know how many of them there were, four or five ladies got the boot during the second show. So all I'm trying to say is don't fuck with Parlor Live, people.
Parlor Live, man, they were on the case. Like, people would just, like, sneeze, and they'd be all up on them, like, we're recording an album, gotta have you quiet.
But I'm allergic to Doug Benson's comedy.
You shouldn't have come to the show then,
you fucking asshole. So it's going to be called Smug Life, and it'll be released by Comedy Central Records this summer. I mean, they still have to hear the shows. They may go, listen, you babbling stoner, we're not going to put this out. Kind of fucking... people don't want to listen to you read your goddamn tweets for an hour.
The second show is very unscripted.
Well, yeah, that was the point, is I got extra high for the second one. Got some news for you, Graham. Movie news. The next Hunger Games has a director, and no one is excited about it. Francis Lawrence is going to direct Catching Fire or whatever it's called.
What?
Do you know who that is?
No. What has he done?
He's done three movies, and I've seen all three of them, and that's part of why I'm not excited about him directing the next Hunger Games, because to me it's just they've replaced the guy that was a journeyman director with another journeyman director, like somebody that doesn't have a specific, you know... Maybe he'll surprise me, but his three previous movies were Constantine, I Am Legend, and Water for Elephants.
Yeah, I mean...
Not a bad filmmaker.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I Am Legend had some exciting parts.
I will say this. I think he's going to be a better action director than Gary Ross. Because, like,
yes,
I Am Legend
yes.
had some really cool stuff. And so did Constantine.
And Water for Elephants had some pretty good elephant fighting.
It did. The good elephant
It was
fighting.
About elephants that were sent out into the jungle to fight each other to the death.
Yeah, it was. It was elephant cage
and
fighting.
And they were like, they weren't hungry. They just needed water.
He's thirsty. God. Don't go to the water hole.
The Water for Elephants games.
Yeah, everyone's got way too much makeup.
May every one of you remember, or something like that. What was the slogan in Hunger Games that they kept saying over and over again? I can't even remember it. It's such an unmemorable slogan.
Isn't it, may the odds be with you?
And may the odds be all in your favor. Like... Oh, that movie. That movie drives me crazy. Yeah, and they kept saying it over and over again. It's just like, yeah, we get it, but why couldn't it be something more, you know, they say more clever things on fucking Survivor, you know?
I think this guy...
The Tribe Has Spoken is so much better.
I think this guy will do a better job than Gary Ross. In terms
All right.
of, is he going to be amazing? Is it going to be like, oh my God, Christopher Nolan? No, but I think you'll go. I think there'll be a noticeable difference, and you'll go. This the action in the second one was a lot better.
The fog has lifted, and it's a beautiful day.
Gorgeous day in Northern Oregon. It's green, it's sunny, and bright, and fun.
Hey y'all, if you've got any movie-related games that you play with your friends, tweet them at me or send them to contact@douglovesmovies.com or find my Doug Loves Movies thread on aspecialthing.com and suggest your game, and I'll play the ones I like right here in the rental car episodes. Give them a test run, if you will. See if they can make it to the big show.
Yep, we have a test run of the car. That's a minor league. This is a single A ball here.
Barely. Yes. This is barely single A ball. This is more like...
Developmental league.
What is that? Where does it go from there? Double A?
The single A is the lowest, then double, then triple, and then from triple A, next stop is the big show, the big leagues.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
So single A is the... Lowest. That's Little League.
Single A is the lowest of the minor leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Like the minor leagues need levels. Like I'm in the minor leagues, not in the big show. That's how as easy as that to explain, right?
Yeah. I mean, this isn't.
They probably don't go whipping around the A's when they're, you know, if you're in single A, you're probably just like, I'm in the minor leagues.
Right, if you're in triple A, you very make a point.
Well, if you're in triple A, you can at least, you know, you can at least operate all your battery-operated items. Because it's based on batteries, right? Triple A batteries.
Yeah. Are you sure the fog lifted?
not my personal fog. My personal fog is never ending.
Ever present.
Yes. Do you hunger for games, Graham?
Oh, I do, Dougley.
Let's start with, I hope that doesn't catch on. We'll start with Movie Cats from Never Not Funny. Remember, someone suggested, and I agree, no sequels. Sequels make it too easy, or easier. So we'll let you pick a starter, Graham. Name a movie or an actor, either one.
Now, are we going back to the...
We're just going
to
go back and forth until somebody's stumped.
But it's... Can you, it goes, it switches back and forth between movie and
actor. Okay. Yeah,
that other version was dumb.
Yeah, you didn't like that other version because you're stupid.
No, because the version was dumb. All right, let's go with Play Misty for Me.
Okay, so I gotta name an actor from Play Misty for Me, and the only people I can even think of that are in it are. The former mayor of the city of Carmel, California, and Jessica Walter. But can you think of another Jessica Walter movie? Wow. You might have killed yourself out of the gate.
I did. I seppuku'd myself.
Yeah. What else was Jessica Walter in?
Jessica Walter was in... Wasn't she in Four Seasons with the Alan Alda movie?
I don't think so. Am I going to have to look that up?
Yeah.
I don't think she was. I don't think she was. She's a tough one. She was in other movies, but that was her big famous movie because she was the woman who was like stalking Clint Eastwood, who played a radio DJ. I haven't seen it forever. I don't know if it holds up, but it was a pretty...
It's a great premise.
Yeah, yeah. And it was I remember it being a fun movie when I was young.
And she played a good Looney Tune,
Yeah, and she'll be, if they ever get it done, she'll be in the Arrested Development movie.
Yeah.
But let me jump on my IMDb here and
she was one of the couples.
Because IMDb, what?
I thought she was in one of the couples.
She might have been, but you might be thinking of Rita Moreno.
No, I did not confuse the woman from West Side Story.
It was Carol Burnett, Rita Moreno, a young girl that was with. The older guy, played by George, what's his name? George Sunza, I think. And who was with Alan Alda? That couldn't have been Jessica Walter. Four Seasons. All right, here we go. Let's get this. Ooh, Four Lions just came up. I still haven't seen that, and I hear such good things about it all the time. Alan Alda, Carol Burnett. Oh, Len Cariou is the older guy with the younger girl. Sandy Dennis was in it too with Rita Moreno. Oh, it wasn't George Sunza, it was Jack Weston. Bess Armstrong was the younger girl. Then for some reason, like, Alan Alda's kids were in it somewhere.
Right.
But yeah, they all went out like on a boat, and the old guy and the younger girl were doing some loud fucking that was annoying everybody. Just kind of become a staple in any time it's a movie about couples going on vacation. All right, Graham. So let me see if I can't name another Jessica Walter movie, then this one's officially a draw. What else was she in? I want to think that she was maybe in the first Stepford Wives, but I don't think that's right either. So now I'm just going to go to Leonard. I'm going to go to Leonard Maltin and see what he lists for her movies, because she's been in some movies.
She's been in a million movies.
But they were all just, older and...
Bit parts.
Not Play Misty for me, so it's hard to...
Because that was kind of her big co-starring.
Yeah, that was a big deal, because she was the, she was the trouble. She was the problem.
She was the problem.
She was the one calling up and saying, play the song Misty for me. She was in Grand Prix, The Group, Bye Bye Braverman, and then Play Misty for Me. Leonard only gave Play Misty for Me 3 stars, so that's not a good sign. Then she was in Golden Girl with Susan Anton. Remember that? She was like a runner.
Yeah.
Flamingo Kid!
Oh, right.
I should have remembered
Yes, she's the bitch you upstairs.
Yeah, and she was in PCU. Slums of Beverly Hills,
right.
Dummy with Adrian Brody, and Unaccompanied Minors. Wow, I couldn't think of any other.
But none of those
Jessica
movies
Walter
are like
movie.
Big. Like none of them were like big blockbusters or big standouts or award.
Yeah,
winners. She's just this sort of character actress that has just sort of been around for 30-40 years.
Yeah, and certainly doing the best work of her life on Arrested Development. She's so great on that. All right, so let's try another one since that was such a lame movie, Cats. And also, I just want to mention really quick, I almost forgot that last night, as part of, this was the second annual 421 show that we did at the Wow Hall in Eugene. And prior to that, we'd done a show there on one of my, I think it was on the medical marijuana tour of fall of, what was that, 09 or 10?
Something like that.
Anyway, it's my third appearance in Wow Hall, but I'm finally so excited to say that I won a Wow Hall Award.
Congratulations.
They give out awards every year. This one was in an envelope in the dressing room that I wouldn't have known about if Graham didn't notice it and then give it to me later. Because I didn't even go into the dressing room. I was just standing out back smoking weed the whole show. Except for the parts where I was on, of course. But anyway, for the year 2011, so for our show last year, we won the Best Non-Musical or Variety Performance. And I just want to say what kind of amazing non-musical or variety performance winners they've had over the years. In 2010, the winner was the Yard Dogs Roadshow. Whatever that means. 2009 was Girls Rock. So that was probably like an all-girl band or a variety show with various girls rocking. Or maybe it was,
or is this a female,
dudes in dresses.
A female gem show? Because it can't be musical, right?
Yeah, best non-musical. Well, there's definitely music in these acts, but I guess they just mean it's just,
it
you know.
It wasn't just a full-fledged band.
Yeah, not a concert, per se. Like, 2008 was the Buckethead Guitar Hero Challenge. So I hope they had Buckethead there. It would be really sad if Buckethead wasn't even at the Buckethead Guitar Hero Challenge. Then 2007 was MC Chris and Transformers. So I'm assuming that means they played the movie Transformers and MC Chris did his own music for it. Right? Because then 2 years earlier, 2005, Star Wars 3 with MC Chris was the number. So yeah. MC Chris has won a couple of times.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd we unseat that guy?
Oh, and the Yard Dogs Roadshow won again in 2006.
Oh my God.
2004, Suicide Girls. That's a fun show. They just come out and walk around and tell stories. 2003, Chuck Palahniuk, you know, the guy who wrote Fight Club.
Chucky.
Yeah. I never really knew how to pronounce his last name. 2002, there was a tie. Very exciting. Between Monsterama and Rummage Sale. Do you think they just had a rummage sale?
I hope they just had.
We can't just give it to Monsterama. We gotta, let's throw a rummage sale.
That rummage sale did pretty good business, so they moved a lot of tickets, rummage sale.
Yeah. 2001, the winner was the Young Women's Theater Collective. 2000 was the Bindle Stiff Family Circus. That sounds so made up.
That is such a fake.
What were you doing last year, Graham? Oh, I spent about a year touring with the Bindle Stiff Family Circus. The Bindle Stiffs, they take care of you. They're very mean to their elephants. I didn't like that. I was like, give those elephants some water.
Those
elephants hunger for games and water.
I got red-lighted on a Bindle Stiff.
In 1999, the Young Women's Theater Collective won again. So now I'm seeing Yard Dogs and Young Women winning twice. I'm going to go for it again next year.
Got it.
I mean, we just did it. We did the show. There's no. Wow, you almost just hit a dude on a motorcycle. Why would a guy be going slow on a motorcycle in the fast lane?
I don't get it.
Yeah. Get it together, guy.
Yeah, people don't go in the far left lane if you're not committed to going faster than the speed limit.
In 1998, when the category was created, Jello Biafra was the winner.
Oh, wow, where he just talked about the music rights people or whatever.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, he was against the NPRG or whatever. Oh, dude, Enchanted Forest theme park.
Yes.
Some guy last night, a drunk guy, wandered up to me behind the, like, I met several people last night that did not have tickets to the show, didn't know I was going to be there. They were just wandering through their neighborhood and recognized me and came up to me and started smoking with me. And there was a guy, a drunk guy, told me four times that his uncle or his father or his grandfather, he told me four times and I don't remember, started this Enchanted Forest place. And the first time he told me, I was very excited. Then he told me again, I was like, yeah, you told me that already. And then he told me again, I was like, oh, you're drunk. You just wandered up to the backstage of my show already hammered out of your mind. And he's like, yeah, I'm drunk. And then he told me again about the Enchanted Forest. And I said, listen, I got to go back inside and tell some jokes.
That that show was great. Like, Eugene is so awesome. There's, like, a bunch of fans that returned to that show. There were some cool name tags. And then the girls that made us, that one girl made us tie-dye shirts. That was really awesome. Mine has, like, it's like a star. It's, it looks like a hippie Captain America. It's really awesome.
Yeah, people gave me so much, like, a ton of weed, and also, like, the shirt, and somebody else gave me a really nice piece that they made, and it was just too many gifts, you guys, like, too nice, but totally appreciate it, and but just for future shows, you don't have to bring me anything. I think we've said this before on this very podcast, in some other rental car. All right, start us off again. This time, don't fuck it up.
All right, play Misty for me.
Ugh. Again?
Why would you?
Did you think I was just going to say Clint Eastwood?
Let's go with...
Yeah, strategize this time. It's good to pick a movie where, like, you're familiar with a lot of the actors. How do they start movie cats on Never Not Funny? How do they, where do they get the title or the actor from? Does someone just go first? Is that how it works?
I think. I've only played this game once, and it was on Dan Katz's podcast. I didn't play it. I haven't been on Never Not Funny since they've started doing it consistently.
Oh, okay.
Let's go with...
Listening to you think is so boring.
I know.
Just spit one out.
Well, that's, I'm trying to think of that. You said, like, think of the strategy.
Strategize.
Doing.
Okay.
And driving. Also.
Oh, yeah. You know, this straight line we're going in is very complicated.
Not sitting in the passenger seat eating a pot lollipop. Let's go with Magnum Force.
All right. Really, like, fixated, apparently, on, you're on, like, you're having kind of a Clint Eastwood morning. I mean, I'm sure whoever his girlfriend or wife was at the time might have been in it, or was she just in the gauntlet? What was Sandra Locke in, Magnum Force?
No, she's only been in the gauntlet and
All right, well, you forced my hand. She's been in more than three Clint Eastwood movies, for sure.
Oh, Josie Wales?
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, you forced my hand, and I just have to say Clint Eastwood, because I can't think of anybody else that was in Magnum Force. Apologies to all the Magnum Force files out there.
Oh, I love Dirty Harry movies.
Who else was in it?
Hal Holbrook was
in it. Okay, that's all you need. Now name another Clint Eastwood movie.
Well, let's go with Heartbreak Ridge.
You asshole! Heartbreak Ridge.
I know a lot of actors.
I can't think of anybody. I mean, I just have such a vague recollection of it, but let me think of, who was in Heartbreak Ridge? Son of a bitch. Heartbreak Ridge. I can't even... They're all such a blur. He made so many movies that are about heartbreak and ridges. He did the Ridges of Madison County.
He did, Ridge over my heartbreak. Why?
Heartbreak Ridge. Fart. I can't think of anybody. Who else was in it?
Marsha Mason.
Oh, she was the girl in Heartbreak Ridge? She was the heartbreak? Who played the Ridge?
Ridge was played by... Oh, now I'm blanking out his name. Oh, Van Peebles.
Mario?
Yeah.
Or Melvin?
Mario. Not the dad.
He must have been, like, a teenager or something.
No, he was, like, in his early 20s, and he was one of the guys in the unit, you know, one of the Marines that...
Oh, it was a Marine thing? I was, like, thinking Western.
No, no. Gunny Highway. I've seen this movie way too many times.
Yeah, I'm going to say that you really know this one.
Yeah. He was fought in Korea, and he's got some Marine unit... This is in, like, the early 90s. It's like, we don't care. And they're all rebelling. rebellious, which would never have in a million years happen to the Marines. But he comes in and whips them into shape.
Yeah, this is so early 90s, it was 86.
Yeah.
2.5 stars from Leonard. He says Eastwood's enjoyable to watch as a hell-raising career Marine sergeant who whips a squadron of young recruits into shape. But it's a predictable and protracted film. Pretty thin stuff. Takes longer to play out than the real-life invasion of Granada it depicts. It is directed by Eastwood himself, Marsha Mason, Everett McGill, Moses Gunn, Eileen Heckert, Bo Svensson, Boyd Gaines, Mario Van Peebles, and Arlen Dean Snyder.
The scenes between Marsha Mason and Clint Eastwood, there's actually some cool little fun scenes. They're like, they were married a long time ago, and then they got divorced, and then they meet up again, and she's all... God damn it, Highway.
You may be the world's leading authority on Heartbreak Ridge. I've chosen to forget about it almost entirely.
You can't. Grenada was a real thing, dude.
It really happened. All right, so let's play best 2 out of 3 since that one got shut down so fast. So you have a point. If you get another one, we'll call it quits. But I'm shocked that you were able to pull this off. This Clint Eastwood maneuver, as it will forever be known. So I'll start the next one. I'll get it away from Clint Eastwood. And I will say Ghost. Ghost, sans protocol.
I'm going to do it, buddy. I am crazy for Swayze, Pat Swayze.
You're going Patrick Swayze?
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of his movies.
All right, so I'm going to go right to... Next of Kin. Yeah. Good luck. Tick, tick, tick.
That's the one movie I've seen.
Tick, tock.
A million times. Next of Kin. I've seen all of his movies a million times except that one.
Yeah, that's why I picked it.
You cocksucker. Next of Kin.
Yeah, who else was in that?
I'm going to just say C. Thomas Howell.
That was a really good guess.
Just take a shot.
Yeah, let me double check and make sure C. Thomas Howell wasn't in it. It's been a while since I've seen it. I'm personally going with, for my, because you can't win a point without proving that you know what you're talking about. Ben Stiller was in that movie.
What?
Yeah.
That's
part of what makes it so memorable. He just had some weird scene where he like comes in and he's like, "Hey, I'm Ben Stiller." Now my phone's acting funky.
I had like Red Dawn, I had Roadhouse, I had them all locked up in my head, and then you pulled the one.
Oh yeah,
loose cannon.
That's how the game works.
Nice work.
And I can't, but I also can't get my phone to work. My Leonard Mlodinow's been acting a little goofy. Maybe it's due for an update or something, and I haven't done it yet. But I'm having a hard time getting it to cooperate right now. And let me look this up. Okay, here we go. Next of Kin. I bet you if I just type next of, that'll yeah, okay, next of. It's directed by John Irvin, who I believe is passed. He's no longer with us. 1.5 stars from Leonard. High-concept, low-rent star vehicle starring Patrick Swayze and Liam Neeson,
no!
Second build. Then Adam Baldwin, the Baldwin that's not a Baldwin. Then Helen Hunt.
What?
Yeah. Andreas Katsoulis, Bill Paxton.
Oh, that, damn it.
Then Ben Stiller. And then Ben Stiller, I remember something about moving a couch or something, like he's a moving guy or something. And then Michael J. Pollard, according to Leonard, runs a hotel. And Swayze takes on the mob with the help of his backwoods brother, Liam Neeson.
Sweet.
Yeah. So Liam was already fighting it up back then, but man, he's now he's fighting wolves. All right, so I get the point on that one. So now we got to do a tiebreaker. You can start, Graham, with naming a movie or an actor.
Wait, doesn't that make you one because I lost the first one?
No, because that first one was a draw because I couldn't think of anyone else. I couldn't think of another Jessica Walter movie.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're good to go.
I love it.
So, name an actor or a movie.
Well, I will go see Thomas Howell.
Wow, you really want to lose, don't you?
No, I'm going to win.
All right, you go see Thomas Howell. I will go... With
Bryce Howell, secret admirer.
I will go with Justine Bateman.
Was in Secret Admirer?
Yeah, wasn't
as it? What?
She was the girl that he was in love with.
Justine Bateman?
Yeah.
Get out. She was not in Secret Admirer. It was the girl from Full House, Lori Loughlin.
Oh, shit.
I am the winner. I am the winner.
God damn it.
I knew that wasn't going to be too hard. I was trying to think of what's the one where C. Thomas Howell was black.
Oh, that's, Back to School or whatever.
No.
Soul Man. Yeah, I was hoping you would go that one because I'd say Ray Dong Chong is in that one.
I almost did go Soul Man, but I couldn't think of it. I just kept thinking Black Man or Man.
I was hoping
man
you'd go Hitcher, and I would say Rutger Hauer, which would have taken us on a weird path.
Yeah, as Rutger Hauer often does.
He's
a weird path motherfucker, that Rutger Hauer. Well, that was a fun game. Should we play a build a title really quick?
Build some titles.
Let's just build one title. The show's already 35 minutes. Yeah. Let's get it done. At Todd Clapp, TODDCLAPP 7, the number 7, suggested for a starter title, Watchmen. Need something that ends in watch or swatch or wah.
Men at work.
Oh, okay.
Watch men.
Decided to go the other way there. I'll go working girl. So now you got to start with girl or end with watch.
Girls on the side.
That's called boys on the side.
That was the sequel. No, I'm sorry. Girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, that's what you meant to say.
Yeah.
Somebody should make two sequels. Boys just want to have fun, and girls on the side. Put it out on a double bill like Grindhouse, and no one will go.
Yeah.
All right, watch men at working, girls just want to have funny people. Funny people. So you got to start with people.
And with watch.
I know there's a people movie, but I can't think of people.
People's candidate or people's champion? No.
Yeah, I can't think of any. What have you got for watch?
Watch is a fucking stone wall.
I think we've encountered that before. I know of one
watch
title, but
just say time after time because it's
Of course. Yeah, anything that's watch themed fits perfectly. I just thought of a people. But what do you got for watch?
People are crazy.
Who's in that?
Cameron Diaz.
Well, I believe that, because she totally
she,
is.
She would.
She is a total people pleaser.
People with issues. People.
Okay, I win in 5 seconds.
People with issues. People.
Four,
people are firing.
Three,
people,
two,
people suck at people
one.
On cars. People's champion.
Doug wins.
What is it?
Well, I thought of People versus Larry Flynn.
Cocksucker. God
yeah.
Dang it.
And then on the other end, the only title I can ever think of when watch is the first word, when it has to end in watch, is Death Watch.
Oh, God.
You got any plugs, Graham?
Like we said, the Comedy Film Nerds paid episode coming out April 27th. The Comedy Film Nerds Guide to Movies pre-orders. And I will be headlining The Laughing Skull in Atlanta, May 17th through 20. All this is at grahamelwood.com.
Yeah, and while Graham's in Atlanta, I'll be at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana with David Huntsberger, who on Saturday, May 19th, will play Leonard Maltin game against audience members, and the person who does the best, who can defeat David on the 20th, will get to be a guest on Doug Loves Movies taping. Both those shows are at 4:20, and then Graham and I will reunite for Zanies in Hashville, Tennessee, Memorial Day weekend, all weekend long, all weekend strong. Three shows. Two will be stand-up, one will be Doug Loves Movies. And then, of course, I've mentioned this in past episodes, but we'll be at Knoxville Side Splitters on May 3rd and Charlotte, North Carolina Comedy Zone on May 5th. And that's that show's at 4:20. Yeah. And as always, play Misty for me as a shithead.
Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hi there, I'm Jimmy Pardo, host of the award-winning podcast Never Not Funny. It's a show that's been described as hanging out with friends you never knew you needed. Well, each week I get together with my co-host Matt Belknap and great people from the worlds of comedy, Broadway, music, TV, movies. You get the point. Hey, Matt, give me some examples of who we've had on.
Oh, my God, Jimmy. We've had comedy legends like Conan O'Brien, Amy Poehler, and Sarah Silverman. Hollywood royalty like Rob Reiner and John Hamm. And members of classic rock bands like Styx and Kiss.
Hey, Never Not Funny's been around since 2006, so we must be doing something right. So why not join our nonsense each week? Never Not Funny.
The fastest hour in podcasting.
Are you ever in the mood for a solo podcast, something you can listen to, like a friend talking to you, but you don't have to say a word as you wash your dishes or drive over a scary bridge? Well, then check out Jen Kirkman's No Fun, the Jen Kirkman podcast, everywhere that you get podcasts.